For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in the Word of God to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Word of God in Malachi chapter 4. For behold, day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Text for our sermon this morning is verses 2 and 3. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of our text are very nearly the last words that God's people in the Old Testament heard from God. This was what they would remember then for years and years to come, this last word of God that He spoke to them, and the promise of the coming of the Messiah. How they must have treasured these words of hope and comfort. This was something that they had been looking for thousands of years. Church of Jesus Christ now for 4,000 years had been awaiting the coming of the Messiah ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. God had promised the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. The church had been longing for the coming of the Messiah. The church in this history also was longing for that coming. But now the promise still had not been fulfilled. For 4,000 years they had waited, and still the Messiah had not come. And now the church in this day is poor and afflicted. And they're about to enter into a period of 400 years of spiritual darkness where they don't hear a word from God. How precious then was this last word of God to them? How precious is the promise of coming of the Son of Righteousness, the Son who would arise with healing in His wings, who would bring with Him the healing of salvation and deliverance. Precious is the coming of that Son and the dawning of the glorious day of salvation. That word of promise stands in stark contrast to the word that God spoke to the unbelieving and the ungodly. It's the word that he spoke to them in verse 1, where he speaks of the coming of this Son, not with healing in his wings for the ungodly, but the Son that comes to burn and to destroy and consume like an oven. Coming of this Son is a coming in judgment for the ungodly. But in contrast to that word of judgment, it's a beautiful word of hope to God's people. And that word of God is precious to us as well. The day in which the church lives today is a time of spiritual darkness. Darkness of apostasy that has descended in large part upon the church world. The darkness of ungodliness in the wicked world around us. We know that that darkness will only deepen before the coming of Jesus Christ. This too is our hope and our comfort, that the darkness and the shadows will be driven away with the rising of the Son of Righteousness. He will come to us with healing in His wings. His coming will bring about the dawning of a glorious, everlasting day. We too look and long for the coming of the Son of Righteousness. Consider this word of God this morning under the theme, the sun. Notice first of all, the rising sun. Secondly, the healing rays. And then thirdly, the joyful people. The word of God spoken through Malachi is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. Christ is, without a doubt, the Son of Righteousness. And yet there are those who deny that that's what this passage is talking about. So I was studying this passage in the past week. I was surprised to read of that. And a number of good commentators who explain this passage in such a way that it really doesn't refer at all to Jesus Christ. Their argument goes something like this. They say in verse 1, God speaks a word of judgment to the ungodly, those who are oppressing His church. And He speaks to that oppressed church now in our text and says to them that God will bring about justice, bring about righteousness, so that those who oppress them now are destroyed and removed. And that justice, that righteousness, is like the rising of a sun. It doesn't refer to Christ, but it refers to righteousness or justice generally. That's a wrong understanding of this passage. This passage clearly is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. We read in Luke chapter 1 the words that God spoke through Zacharias after his tongue was loosed and his son was born, and he spoke of the coming of Christ. Luke 1 verses 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring, the dawning from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus says about Himself in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We read in Revelation chapter 1, this description of Jesus, His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. And it's for that reason that we read at the very end of the book of Revelation that in the new creation there will not be a need of the sun, because the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 21, verse 23. Translators of our beloved King James Version clearly understood that as well. That's why when they translated this verse, they capitalized the word sun. We stand in very good standing in understanding this to be a prophecy the coming of Jesus Christ. Without doubt, we can say Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness because of who He is in Himself. Jesus Christ is the full and complete revelation to us of the triune God. That fits with the figure of the sun. One of the important aspects of the sun is its brightness, its glory. If you took a moment this morning to see the sun as it arose, you can hardly look at that sun because of its brightness and its glory. And that's true of Jesus Christ as the sun. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says that He is the brightness of His glory, of God's glory, and the express image of His person. Jesus is the Son because He is the brightness of God's glory, because He's the revelation to us of the glorious, righteous God. To be righteous means to be in harmony with God and with His will. And that certainly is true of Jesus Christ. He is in perfect harmony with the will of His Father. And as God Himself, He is the righteous one. Jesus Christ is also the Son of Righteousness because everything centers on Him. That's also true of the physical sun. Sun is at the center of our solar system. The earth, the moon, all of the other planets and their moons, all of these things revolve around the sun. The sun is at the heart and the center. It's the focal point of all things. So much the more is that the case with the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. He is at the heart and the center of God's plan and purpose with all things. We read that not only were all things created by Him, but all things were created for Him with a view to Jesus Christ. Christ is the focal point of all of human history. Everything in history revolves around Christ and His work. That's true not just in creation and in history, especially that's true in the church. Everything in the church revolves around Christ. Everything in our lives as members of the church ought to have Christ as the focal point. It might be helpful for us to stop a moment and to ask ourselves that. Is the Son of Righteousness at the heart and the center of my life? Is that the focal point? Does my whole life revolve around Christ? Christ is the Son of Righteousness. Malachi prophesies of the rising of the Son of Righteousness. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. Think about the rising of the physical sun. The sun rises only after there are hours and hours of inky black darkness. We're told even that it's darkest right before the rising of the sun. In the early hours of the morning, there is the blackness of the night. Perhaps we can wonder, is this darkness ever going to be lifted? Is there going to be the removal of this thick black night? But we know that God is faithful and that there will be the rising of the sun in the morning. And that certainly is always the case. We look toward the east and slowly it starts to get a little lighter. And we can maybe even wonder, are our eyes deceiving us? Is it really getting any lighter? No, it gets brighter and brighter, and soon we can see just a sliver of the sun over the horizon in the east. And then very quickly, the sun appears in all of its glory, and it appears as if the sky is on fire. It's aflame with the brightness of the glory of the rising sun. And the coming of the sun and its rising is especially welcome to those who are looking for it. In the Old Testament, there was a watchman who was called upon to keep watch through the night. He began his work when night fell, and he was relieved of his post when the sun arose in the morning. He labored faithfully to keep watch for any enemies that might attack at nighttime or perhaps a fire that was in the city. And through all the long, weary night, he labors, but he's always looking to the east. He's always longing for the rising of the sun. And when the sun first peeks up over the edge of the horizon, he rejoices in the coming of the sun. The long, weary night is over. The blackness of the early morning is lifted. We read of that in Psalm 130, verse 6. We sang a versification of this a little earlier this morning. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Just as for that watchman, the coming of the sun brought joy and relief, so much more is the rising of the sun of righteousness a cause of joy and relief in our hearts. This prophecy is obviously fulfilled in the advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ. Prior to his coming, there was spiritual darkness upon the land. There was the darkness of sin and disobedience to God. There was the darkness of ungodly heathen world powers that were ruling over the people of God. There was the spiritual darkness of God not revealing himself to his church. For 400 years, God didn't speak to them. There were no angels from heaven, no dreams and visions, no voice of God thundering from the heavens, no prophet to speak to his people. There was silence. Right before the dawning of the Son of Righteousness, it was as dark as it could possibly be. In the midst of that darkness arose and shone the Son of Righteousness, born of a poor virgin girl, laid in a manger, brought forth into poverty and obscurity, and yet shining forth as the Son of Righteousness, the light that dispels the darkness and the shadows and brings the dawning of a glorious day. What a joy and a relief that was for the church. There were some that spiritually were awake, looking for the coming of the Messiah, and yet there were many that were spiritually sleeping. They weren't looking for the coming of Christ. For years now, they had forgotten about Christ. They didn't have in their hearts a longing for the Messiah. They were spiritually sleeping. But there was a remnant who were awake as watchmen. Zacharias and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, aged Simeon and Anna. They were watchmen, awake in that darkness, looking to the east and the rising of the Son of Righteousness. And when that sun appeared, brought the greatest joy and relief to them, that was the most welcome sight to them, to know that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, had come. But this Word of God also has a future fulfillment for us. Not only is this prophecy fulfilled in Christ's first coming, it finds its ultimate fulfillment in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then too, His arising will be preceded by the deepest darkness possible. Many who outwardly were born into the church and attached to the church will apostatize. There will be a great falling away. In the midst of the world, wickedness will abound. More and more, the cup of God's wrath will be filled. The Antichrist will arise and establish His kingdom in opposition to Christ and to His church. And already now we can see the beginnings of that. We can see the darkness descending and deepening upon the world in which we live, with the wickedness that already abounds and is accepted and celebrated in the world, with the falling away and the apostatizing of many. Foundations of the kingdom of the Antichrist already being laid. It's deep, deep darkness before the dawning of the day. But in the midst of this deep darkness, the Son of Righteousness will arise. He will come and will dispel the darkness and the shadows of sin in opposition to Him. His coming and its brightness will be the destruction of the kingdom of the Antichrist. We read of that in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, and referring there to the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. It's the brightness of the coming of the Son of Righteousness that will destroy utterly the kingdom of darkness and the Antichrist. What joy, what relief for those who are watching for that coming. There will be so many who are spiritually asleep and have no interest in the coming of the Son of Righteousness in that day. But the church, the remnant, we will be awake as watchmen in the night, looking for the coming of our Savior to drive away all of the darkness forever. Bring about the dawning of new and glorious morning, the dawning of everlasting day, of light and salvation. What a joy, what a relief be for us. The Son of Righteousness arises. Son of Righteousness, we're told, will arise with healing in His wings. The Spirit speaks of wings here. It's referring to the rays of the sun. Children understand what the rays are, those little fingers that shoot out from the sun. The reason why the Bible refers to the rays of the sun as wings is because those rays are like the wings, from our earthly human perspective, the wings that carry the sun through the sky in its circuit. And we're told that those wings, the rays of this sun, come with healing, with a cure, with health, literally. Think again of the sun in the sky, and the importance of that sun for life and health in our physical life. Sun is absolutely essential for life here on this earth. Sun is essential for life because it gives light. Imagine hypothetically that we could live without the sun. It would be utter pitch blackness. We could hardly dare take a step for fear of crashing into something. It would be impossible to carry out daily life without the light of the sun. Sun is essential for life also because of the heat that it provides. God, in His perfect wisdom, has placed the earth in the perfect distance from the sun. Any closer and we'd burn up. Any farther away and we'd freeze because of the cold. God has placed the earth at the perfect distance so that the sun provides the necessary heat and warmth to sustain life. Because the sun provides the light and provides the heat, the sun is essential for life. Life is impossible without the sun. It's for that reason that God created light on the very first day of creation. He created the light on the first day because that's the absolute necessity for any life. There could be no life, no creation on any of the other days without first the presence of light. Light provides nutrients for the plants, which in turn feed the animals and feed man. Without the light of the sun, life is absolutely impossible. What's true from a physical point of view, it's true especially from a spiritual point of view. Just as we depend upon the light of the sun for physical life, so we depend entirely upon the Son of Righteousness for spiritual life and health. Consider our need for that light. Each one of us, by nature, is conceived and born in the night. The darkness of enmity and rebellion against God. By nature, we don't belong to the light of God's kingdom and favor, but we belong to the darkness and are servants to the prince of that darkness, the devil. Our nature is such that our feet walk in the night. Our minds are darkened and can't understand spiritual things. Our hearts are cold and dark and lifeless without the love of God. Out of our mouths proceed black filth. Our whole nature is corrupted by the blackness of sin and unbelief. And even as children of God, born again with the life of Christ in us, we still stand in need daily of that light. We need the healing rays of the sun to shine upon us daily. We need that light to shine, to illuminate the path that we are to walk. We need that light to shine, to remove the darkness of our minds so that we can know God, truly know Him as our Father, which is everlasting life. We need the light of that sun to warm our hearts, to warm them with the assurance and the comfort of God's faithfulness and love for us. We need the Son of Righteousness. Apart from that Son, there is no spiritual life. There's only death and darkness. The Son of Righteousness has arisen. He's arisen in our hearts with healing in His rays, and He shines down upon us with that healing, life-giving light. Savior has arisen in our hearts in regenerating us. delivering us out of the kingdom of darkness and bringing us forever into the kingdom of light and righteousness. He's removed the darkness of our minds and the coldness of our hearts. He shined the light of real, spiritual, everlasting life in us. He's brought us into the light so that we know and are assured God's love for us. But no longer do we stand in enmity towards Him and rebellion against Him, but as His friends and children in His covenant. And that sun continues to shine its healing rays into our lives day after day. Shines the light of His righteousness. Righteousness which He merited for us. And on the basis of what He has done, forgives us of our sins, reckons and imputes to us, counts to us. His righteousness is ours, so that we're justified, we're forgiven of our sins. He shines His healing rays of righteousness into us, so that He guides our feet to walk in the light. Shines His light upon us even when it seems dark. In the darkness of trials and afflictions, the light of the Son of Righteousness shines upon us with His healing rays, to warm us with the knowledge of His presence and His love. Strengthen us by His grace to bear up and to endure patiently. It's the work of Jesus Christ that began for us at His coming, at His birth. As He came not just to be born, but to die for us. Remember what happened when the babe of Bethlehem went to the cross. The darkness that descended upon the cross, thick, black, inky darkness that lasted for 3 hours, as an expression of God pouring out all of His wrath for our sins upon Christ. Christ being at least feeling utterly forsaken by His Father. He went into that darkness. He willingly endured that night so that He could shine forth as the light to us. Send forth His healing rays upon us. It's a work of Christ that has its goal and its final realization at His second coming. Jesus Christ will appear in all of His glory. He will bring about the dawning of the everlasting Sabbath rest. He will come with the healing rays fully to heal us of our sicknesses and diseases, our sins and our sinful natures, and deliver us from sin and temptation and all of our sorrows and troubles. His arising will be arising with perfect, complete healing and cure and spiritual health. It has its basis in the cross and its goal in the second coming. It's the work that He continues to carry out now in our lives. Jesus Christ and His mercies are new to us every morning. So that as the sun rises every morning in the east, the Sun of Righteousness arises in our lives daily. Shine upon us with His healing rays. Make us know forgiveness to sanctify us, strengthen us on our life's pathway. Help precious is the rising of the Son of righteousness. How comforting His healing rays. And the result then, the effect of that upon us, it's joy. Thanksgiving and rejoicing because of the healing of the Son of righteousness. What else could be our response? That's what the passage speaks of here as well. That's the end of verse 2. It says, "Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Translation there is a bit difficult to understand. The word "grow up" there literally means to spring or to leap, to jump around. You shall go out and shall spring and leap and jump around as calves of the stall. Think about a newborn calf that's locked away all night. You let that calf out into the pasture in the morning and it leaps and it springs about with joy. Or that calf maybe is locked away for a good portion of the winter and spring comes and the sun rises and the snow melts and the calf is springing and leaping and jumping about with all kinds of excitement and energy and relief. It's the joy that fills our hearts with the rising of the Son of righteousness. To change the figure again, go back to the watchman. Spent all the long, weary night looking for the sun. When that sun peeks up over the horizon, there's joy and there's relief in his heart. So also for us, what joy, what thanksgiving lives in our hearts. The Son of righteousness has arisen. Just as God prophesied so many years ago, that word is sure. As sure as the rising of the sun every morning, so sure is this word. The Son of righteousness has come, and He will come again, and He has arisen in our hearts. What joy we experience with His healing rays shining upon us. His healing rays bring the forgiveness of sins. What joy that brings into our hearts. And His healing rays shine and sanctify us more and more. What joy that gives. His healing rays shine in the darkness of our trials and strengthen and guide us. What joy that gives. Joy, in part, is the victory that we have in Christ over our enemies. Mention is made of that. In verse 3, "You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." The rising of the Son of righteousness brings healing only for the elect, for the unbeliever, for the reprobate. And the sun arises. He doesn't arise with healing, he arises in judgment. Again, that's the idea in verse 1. "He shall come and burn as an oven all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, they shall be as stubble." It's true of our sun in our sky as well. It brings light and heat and life. But that sun can also burn. Burns our skin if we're exposed to it. It scorches our lawn in the middle of the summer. It's the heat of that sun that produces the dry deserts, which are lifeless nearly. The sun has that effect as well. It rises to burn, to consume, to destroy the ungodly and the unbelieving. The Word of God to such is, repent. If you're living in unbelief, if you're living an ungodly life, the Son of Righteousness will arise. If you continue in that way with the heat of destruction, repent. That sun arises with healing only for the elect. As the passage says, those that fear my name, verse 2. As we've noted already before, that's not the fear of a shaking dread terror. That's the fear of a humble awe and reverence before God, which is true only of an elect child of God, the one in whom that light has already shone. It's the one who fears the Lord, and for the elect child of God, that rising is a healing. And it's victory over our enemies. Now, in this life, the church is a small, despised remnant. She's oppressed by the devil and by the wicked world. And more that will be the case as the persecution gets worse and worse as the end approaches. And God has said to us as His people that we're not to seek vengeance for ourselves upon our enemies. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We leave the vengeance in the hands of the Lord. We endure the hurts, the mockery, the oppression, the persecution that will come in the confidence that the judgment will come and God will execute vengeance upon His and our enemies, that we shall have the victory over them. As they're consumed, we'll tread down upon them as the ashes, the passage says. Though we are nothing and it appears as if the victory belongs to the world, the last great everlasting day will come when it will be revealed that we are victorious. We will rejoice in great victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. And so we long for that day. How can we not? How can that not be the chief desire of our heart for the coming of the Son of Righteousness? And yet so easily our eyes are focused here on this earth. Times maybe we're spiritually drowsy and ready to sleep so that we're not looking for the rising of that sun. But this is our hope. All these earthly things that we're tempted to focus on, they'll all be consumed and burned. They don't have lasting value. We have our eyes upward. We have our eyes focused on the horizon. In our hearts, there is the longing and the hope for the final rising of the Son of Righteousness. Our longing and prayer is for His healing rays to shine upon us. For the coming of that great, glorious, everlasting morning. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we're thankful for the work of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, for His work for us on the cross, and His work in us now by His Holy Spirit. Continue to shine upon us the light of Thy love and favor. Continue to send the light to guide our footsteps in the way of thankful obedience to Thee. Father, forgive us graciously of our sins. Forgive us of our spiritual laziness, for at times our focus upon the things that are passing more and more draw our eyes upward to the coming again of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In whose name alone we pray. Amen.